Hello and welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Today we discuss child well-being in the state of New Mexico. In 2015, 29% of the state's children were in poverty. The national average that year was 21%. That's according to the 2017 Kids Count profile from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Our guest today will share more about an investigation into child well-being in the state. Please welcome journalist Lauren Villagran with Searchlight New Mexico. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you.
Now let's start off. If you could share with our audience exactly what is Searchlight New Mexico.
Okay, so Searchlight is a new news media organization in the state. We are a nonprofit or seeking nonprofit status. And we're sort of continuing a tradition that's pretty rich in New Mexico of nonprofit news organizations. For viewers and listeners who don't know what that is, it's a little different from a traditional newsroom in that we're not funded by commercial entities, we're funded by foundations. But in the same vein as a traditional newsroom, there's a firewall between the funding and the journalists. And we're essentially a new investigative journalism organization in the state.
Now, could you share with our audience, what are you investigating? What has your reporting been doing? I understand it has to deal with child well-being in New Mexico.
Correct. So in our setup, we are essentially a project-based news organization. So unlike a regular newsroom that covers anything that happens and the news, we are taking on very specific projects that are relevant to the state of New Mexico. And our first project is about child well-being. As you mentioned in your intro, this state has real issues with the well-being of kids and families. As you mentioned, 29% of our kids are growing up in poverty. And that plays out in myriad ways in terms of education outcomes and future opportunities, both for the state as a whole and for the lives of kids.
Now, could you share some of the topics that you're investigating with this project that has to do with child well-being?
Sure. So we have a small team of reporters, and we're taking the time to do really deep dives into some key issues. For example, the state of early education in New Mexico. So New Mexico has been contributing more and more resources to early education. That's basically all sorts of programs from birth to age 5. Pre-K is a big focus of that. Home visiting, programs like Kindergarten Plus, which is an extended school year. And so we're really looking at all of the things the state is or is not doing to kind of lift all boats with respect to kids in New Mexico. We'll be looking at issues around health. So there's a lot of talk now about ACEs, which are adverse childhood experiences, and looking at how that test might be something that the state could look at to better understand the experiences that kids are having in New Mexico. We're basically going to look at a number of domains, the economy, health, education, and family, and really kind of dig deep into the problems that the state faces.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you present and what the reporting brings forward. I want to talk about one thing that I know is always on folks' minds in New Mexico, and I think it's no surprise to our audience that New Mexico is one of the poorest states in the country. One of the findings from the Annie E. Casey Foundation in the 2017 Kids Count profile says that in New Mexico in 2015, 34% of children in the state have parents who lack secure employment. Now, I guess that's compared to the national average of 29% that year. With some of the reporting that has been going on with this topic, I mean, what are some of the findings that your team has been able to come up with and to really highlight this issue?
So we'll start publishing in mid-January, both on our website, searchlightnm.com, as well as in partnership with newspapers around the state, including Gannett papers, hopefully the Las Cruces Sun News, and also independents like the Santa Fe New Mexican. And We are going to be looking at that issue from a number of perspectives. I can't be very specific about what we're going to write about, but the stories will start hitting the ground come mid-January. And we're really contributing to a body of work that already exists. So the Albuquerque Journal has done great reporting around education. So has New Mexico In Depth. They're another nonprofit, as well as local papers. And what I would say is that we're going to kind of take a longer perspective on some of these issues. The statistic that you point to is really what underpins the poverty statistic. It's reflective of the state's economy. And particularly, you know, when you look at the poverty statistics, there are definitely pockets of the state that suffer more than others. And we know that here in southern New Mexico. So parts of Doña Ana County rank among the very most impoverished in the state. There's an area of Albuquerque, the International District, that is number one in terms of a concentration of all of the very worst indicators related to child well-being. So for example, one story that I can mention, we will have a story that focuses on the life of kids in the International District in Albuquerque.
Oh, that'll be interesting to learn more about that. One of the reporting projects that you have been working on is dealing with early childhood education. Now, some of the numbers with this, I think, are really eye-catching for folks who may not know. It's at the pre-K level in New Mexico, half of four-year-olds and 81% of three-year-olds are not in a pre-K program. Now, is that correct in what I'm reading right there?
Yes, it is, and that's from the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University, and it is correct. Yeah, and the reason why that's important, Anthony, is because there are a multitude of studies that show that kids, particularly kids from low-income communities that get access to early education, so that's preschool or kind of more enriched daycare programs, they do better long-term. And I feel like one of the kind of the top holy grail for New Mexico lawmakers is to find ways to eliminate the achievement gap between lower income students and students who come from middle and upper income families. There's a big achievement gap there, and it's part of what essentially results in our not so great educational outcomes. We want to be able to sort of lift up kids from all circumstances so that everyone can have equal opportunity. And pre-K and preschool programs are one of the ways that the state can do that. Now, there is a big debate about how to pay for it, exactly who the state should be targeting with our limited funds, and how to roll out those programs. I spoke with someone in the Legislative Finance Committee staff today, in fact, who was talking about how New Mexico has spent the past 10 years investing in early childhood. And so we're getting to a point where that whole system is going to change and mature in new ways, and we're really on the cusp of something. So I feel like this child well-being project is rolling out really at a great time for the state to debate what's next. What's the next best way to help kids in New Mexico?
I mean, is there a difference between how the state of New Mexico is funding early childhood education and how the federal government is doing that? Are they on the same page when it comes to educating our children at that age?
Yeah, the answer here right now is no. In the state's setup of its own preschool program, both through the Public Education Department, which is public schools, and Children, Youth, and Families Department, which issues contracts to private daycare providers to provide preschool, there's a healthy bit of discord. The state does not allow the mixing of funding streams. And I have a story that kind of looks at some of the consequences of that. So other states do it differently. States like Oklahoma and Georgia have found ways to braid and blend funding. And I feel like this is a topic that may be something that gets discussed this year. We have a short legislative session in January, but it's an election year in New Mexico, and voters and parents who go to vote, you know, we're hoping to provide the kind of information that will educate voters as they, you know, head to the polls through the primary season and the election season later this year.
Currently, the way New Mexico is funding early childhood education, are they taking advantage of all the federal funds that are available or may be available to the state?
So again, that's a story that I've got coming up for you, and I can't go too deep into it right now, but I can tell you that I do believe that lawmakers have been looking for a while at ways to prevent the loss of any funds and to better put both federal and state money to work for kids in early education.
What were some of the things that, you know, kind of surprised you about early education in New Mexico? I mean, you may have already been familiar with it through, you know, your reporting or own experiences, but was there anything with this project where you just had to take a step back and kind of digest really what was happening before your eyes?
You know, I will admit that when I was invited to be a reporter on this project, when you look at those statistics from the Annie Casey Foundation, which essentially the foundation aggregates statistics from the census and from the state, it's not their own statistics. But you look at New Mexico's ranking, we are last in the nation on child poverty. We're 49th in the nation when you aggregate all of those 16 indicators that look at child well-being. And so when I came to this project, my assumption was state must be doing nothing. And it's, you know, it's not true. The state has been working really, really hard to find ways to improve education, invest in early childhood. And I think that the rankings are really a testament to the uphill battle that we have because of budgetary constraints and, you know, lackluster economic development. So I have also been surprised at the number of really kind of amazing ideas that are out there and people who have been working for 30 years to kind of move the needle. And in some ways we have. I mean, when you look at the health statistics, New Mexico has done pretty well over the last 5 or 6 years in terms of improving the number of kids who have health insurance, for example. That's a big win. It's also one of the few bright places and the place that's most at risk right now because the federal government has not funded the CHIP program, which provides health insurance to low-income families, to the kids of low-income families. So I think that I came with a preconception, perhaps that maybe nothing was being done. And in fact, there's a lot going on out there. It's just a matter of, I don't know, maybe getting people on the same page, maybe raising the debate during an election year so that child well-being is one of the most important topics. Because really, I'm a mother myself of a young daughter. And I mean, what is more important, right, than our kids? So yeah, that was sort of my preconceived notion, and now it's more a matter of looking into programs and what's working and what's not.
Okay, well, I'd like to, you know, we were talking about early childhood education. I'd like to move it a little bit forward to, you know, let's say what's happening right now in our elementary schools and in our junior high. Some of the statistics from the Annie Casey Foundation's 2017 kids count profile, 77% of fourth graders in New Mexico in 2015 were not proficient in reading. Now, I guess the national average that year, 65%. What were some of the findings, you know, through some of the reporting that seems to be an issue with proficiency in reading for the fourth graders in the state?
Right. So it's interesting that the test happens in fourth grade because our viewers probably recall the last several years of really heated debate about third grade reading and whether or not to hold kids back. And that was a huge debate. Legislation has really never gone anywhere, not just about that particular idea of ending social promotion, but really any bill related to reading that has come through the legislature fails. And one of the reasons why I know this is because Searchlight has invested in creating a database of every piece of legislation, every bill, passed or failed, including memorials over the past 20 years that has gone through the legislature. And so you can actually see what lawmakers have tried to do to fix that statistic. And you can see in that particular area how it's failed over and over and over again. And we have a story that will look at sort of why that is politically. Now, when you look at that statistic, it's shocking and it's horrifying because it does our kids a real disservice if they're heading into the fourth and fifth grades and beyond without reading skills. Now, one bright spot that you'll see from studies that the Legislative Finance Committee staff has done is that there are programs in place right now that are fixing that. The Kindergarten Plus extended school year, preschool. Kids who participate in both of those programs are showing improved results on reading, both in skills in kindergarten readiness and moving into third grade reading. So that's a real bright spot. Now the question is, how does the state broaden those programs to serve more kids, because they aren't serving everyone who needs it?
Okay, now I also want to bring forward another statistic, and it has to do with math. With the NEKC Foundation's 2017 Kids Count profile, 79% of New Mexico students in 2015 in the eighth grade were doing poor in math, compared to 68%. Through some of the reporting, have you seen any major red flags that are happening within the system that lawmakers or people in power that may not know about? Is there anything with that?
Well, I don't have anything really specific to say about math, but I would go back to what I said before. It really has to do with sort of getting kids ready to learn. So, you know, what happens when you come from a situation in which your parents are fighting to get food on the table, or you know, you may be suffering through child abuse. When you go back to that question about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, things on that list are child abuse, experiencing a parent's incarceration, long periods of unemployment. Those are all experiences that really hurt a kid's ability to learn. And also, it also impacts the family environment. So, you know, kids may not be in a place where their parents are able to read to them every night because mom and dad may have a job or other stresses that prevent that. So yeah, you know, I think the big focus for advocates right now is on that 0 to 5. Because if you can help New Mexico families be successful and know what they need to know and have the resources and health insurance that they need to have, both through pregnancy up until kindergarten, when kids get to kindergarten, they'll be ready to learn to read and ready to learn math.
Let's shift the conversation to people who may be able to do something about this and in position of power to do something about this. I know through your reporting you've talked to many legislators who have very different views on what should happen and how education should be funded and the ways to go about it. Could you share some different perspectives of what you encountered through the reporting? I know we just have a couple of minutes, but just to give our audience an idea of how lawmakers who are in positions of power are viewing this situation, how they feel, you know, they should approach it.
Yeah, so in my reporting so far, I would say that definitely lawmakers from both parties are on board with the science. And what I mean by that is, you know, over the last 20 years, neuroscience has showed us that 0 to 5 time period is when kids, you know, and I think moms and dads sort of already know this, but it's the time period when kids are soaking up everything and when what happens to you, both positively and negatively, in that 0 to 3, 0 to 5 time period is absolutely crucial. And so there is bipartisan support for investment in early childhood, as happens with a lot of things in politics, where the breakdown comes is how do we pay for it. And so there are debates about taxes. There are debates about dipping into the land grant permanent fund, which I hope that, you know, you and I will be talking about later. There are a lot of debates about exactly which population the state should target with the limited funds. So, you know, there is an organization in Santa Fe, the United Way, that wants to see universal preschool like they have in Georgia or in Oklahoma, meaning all 4-year-old kids could go to public preschool, and that's not happening right now in New Mexico. And there is a group in New Mexico of lawmakers who say, you know what, we have limited funding. Let's target the very neediest kids first and make sure those kids are getting early education at 3 and 4 years old. So yeah, I'd say there's bipartisan support. It's just now a matter of debating of what to fund and how to fund it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the reporting with Searchlight uncovers, and we look forward to learning more about that as we continue this conversation with you. Lauren, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Anthony.
And we want to thank you for joining us for another episode of In Focus.